Start up here. Go.
Good evening, friends of the Bulkley Valley and beyond. My name is Thomas Tom Roper, and you are listening to CICK, Smithers Community Radio, 93.9 on your FM dial. My program, On the Ropes, is broadcasting from the Cassia territory of the Gidimdum clan, home of the Wet'suwet'en.
Okay, Tone, it looks like we are on track here. We got our introduction, and I wanted to welcome you to CICK Radio. Thanks for coming down.
No problem. My pleasure.
So I'll get you just about one fist length away from that mic, and you're all good for chatting. So Tone, on this radio program, we always try to get sort of people from all over the valley. And I like to call the valley right from Bulkley Lake, which is out by Rose Lake on the way to Burns. And that valley runs all the way to Southtown, where the Bulkley meets the Skeena. It's heck of a valley, and it's full of some very interesting people. And that's why I've contacted you, Tone. So I try to get the story. I want to know the story of how somebody came from Wisconsin or Vanderhoof or whatever it was to get themselves to the Bulkley Valley. And then why did they stay? And what are they doing to be part of the valley? So that's how I sort of lay out the program, Tone. So if we were to take that just one step further and ask you those same questions, Tone, how did you get to the Bulkley Valley?
Well, I was brought into the Bulkley Valley because I was born here, and so I had no choice. Well, my mother brought me here, and I was born up at the Smithers Hospital.
Well, there you go. There you go. That's really actually a nice way to get into the valley. I've got three boys, and they were all born at that same hospital that you're talking about. But the moment that they got themselves out of school, Tone, goodbye, Valley, and off to the big city. Now, what about you? Did you? How did you do? Did you do your schooling here in Smithers?
No. For part of my life, I ended up just over in the Pleasant Valley of of Houston.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay.
And I got my high school education.
Right.
Taken care of there.
Right.
And I was a little Muheim kid.
Right.
Right. Did some school in Muheim.
Right on.
Did some school in Telqua.
Yeah.
Then Houston.
So you've seen a little bit of the valley, because those are all valley towns.
Absolutely. Born and bred and love it.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Tone, I was under the impression that you were actually brought up in Prince George. I don't know where I got that from, but that's sort of what I thought had happened in your family. But that is not the case.
No, no. It's, like I said, Smithers, Telqua, Houston, back to Smithers.
There you go. There you go. So when you're going through this school years, Tone, there seems to be a time now we get towards the end that we can be kind of preparing for our future. And I, in my case, you know, I was in grade 12 and I took construction 12 and I got an F, and I took mechanics 12 and I got an F. And I thought, well, that's kind of odd, because that's where I want to go in life, is I would like to be a mechanic and build my own house. So what happened there? How about you, Tone? What did you get out of your high school years? Did you get a direction?
Not so much a direction. Right. Being in a small town, you're limited to your to what's going to happen. I didn't have a lot of big dreams.
Yeah.
It was mainly where was I going to, you know, work?
Yeah. So it was a work kind of a thought process that you had. What are you going to do to get a job and to look after yourself? How did that come together?
I was raised by my mother.
Mm-hmm.
And it when you are raised in a small town and there's not much going on, there's the sawmills.
Okay. Okay.
Or mine.
Right. Right. Well, in a certain way, that's not really a bad thing. It's like a job. It's sort of out there waiting for you.
That's what a lot of small town people do. They aspire to getting the job at the big sawmill or the mine.
Right.
And so if you can get on there, that's where you're going to make the big bucks.
Right. And then you're going to be able to sort of prepare your life from that point where you've got some money coming in. How did you have that thought process that you wanted to get a money flow so that you could look after yourself, Tone? Where did that come from? Did your mom and...
Where it came from is that I grew up with very little, right? I didn't come from a rich family or anything like that. Single mother, raised on, for the most part, when my parents were still together.
Yeah.
It was a normal family and all that stuff, but they ended up splitting up.
Yeah.
And yeah, so it was just me and my mother and my brother, and we decided to live in Houston, and the only things that were available and what drove me is that I grew up with nothing.
Yeah.
Right. I was fairly poor.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
So getting a big job at a mine or a sawmill or something like that. And what I did is I got a job at Equity Silver Mines.
Oh, okay. That was your start, was
it? That was where things really started to go. And that's where I decided I was going to stay in.
Yeah.
And I've been a miner now for 32 years.
Wow. Wow. That's hard to believe, Tone. How time goes by and we're playing with finding our way through life, and the mines have actually been good to you, to get you going.
I have not had to move. I've always been able to find work in the valley. And like I said, there was Equity Silver Mines, there were Sable Resources, then Huckleberry Mines that you know of, because we worked together there.
Yeah, I did want to bring that up. First of all, just before we get into that little bit of Huckleberry story, I'd like to play a song. Like on our podcast, we like to have four songs, one being Canadian, just because we're connected with radio. And it's kind of fun to get some of the songs of the interviewee of how they... what they enjoy, you know, what type of music they enjoy. So let's play your first song, Tone. It's called Let Your Love Flow by the Bellamy Brothers. Have you got any connection to this song, or you just like the way it sounds?
It was my feel-good song,
right.
Like most songs are.
Yeah, yeah. Okay, well, let's see what it sounds like when we get her on the air here. Here we go.
Smallest of
That's a cool song, Tone. Your love's flowing like a mountain stream, hey?
Absolutely, yeah. My friend. You're asking, like, what made me do this, like this song? I think it's as I got older.
Yeah.
You know, you go through stages in your life.
And, yeah.
And it just, I was trying to find songs that would make me feel better that, you know, as I matured.
Yeah. Right? Well, did you know that's a country song? Like, these guys are country singers, and they're a duo. They've sold over 40 million records. Like, worldwide, they're very famous, the Bellamy Brothers. And they've actually got their own podcast out there now, where it's called Honky Tonk Ranch. It's supposed to be really pretty interesting how they try to run a ranch and do world touring. So they're kind of an interesting couple of guys.
Well, that's good to hear.
Yeah.
Because like I said, it's just a certain few songs that have caught my ear, and
yeah,
to find out that they're still rocking.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, actually.
Totally,
yeah.
Cool.
So Tone, interestingly enough, between you and I, we've kind of followed a similar pattern in our lives. My parents... Never did divorce, but they never got along, and we had kind of a complicated life through that. And then my father, unfortunately, was an alcoholic, and my father-in-law was an alcoholic. There's a lot of alcoholism in the family, and I've always wondered how a person doesn't fall into that same trap, like in your case. You know, you've had alcoholism around you through your family extensions to a certain extent. How is it that you didn't become an alcoholic? Can you really figure that out?
The hurt.
Yeah.
The hurt of going through that and seeing so much love turn into despair.
Yeah.
And just having that pain in my life when I was growing up, I decided that I wasn't going to repeat that cycle. I was going to be, just a better person.
And I find that really a good thing, Tone. It's similar to your decision that you, getting through school and where you're going to decide how you're going to look after yourself to make those decisions instead of just using your money for drugs and alcohol. You used your money for getting ahead in life to make life better for yourself, you know?
Yeah. There was definitely an advantage to staying positive and working and bettering myself, for sure.
Yeah.
I had a lot of, like you said, the alcoholism and everything in the family and whatnot. But with that, I did have a big brother.
Okay.
And my brother is one of the, he ended up being a bit of the father figure.
Right.
And then pushing me and saying, hey.
Keeping you on track.
Keeping me on track. Yeah. Like, yeah. Hey, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? Like, what are you doing? And,
yeah.
And I, of course, I decided, maybe I should listen to my big brother.
Yeah, that's pretty good. That's pretty good, Tone. Well, Tone, you mentioned our history together. Now, I actually met you, I was actually working for HFP, and my job wasn't going well there. I was a foreman, and I wasn't really able to get my crew listening to me, and I eventually got fired. So I was out on the street for about a day before I got another job up at Hazleton, and I ran into a guy called Jim Golder. Do you remember him?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and he was actually taking a first aid course, and I thought that would help me looking for jobs if I got in on that. So I would signed up for that course, and then I met Jim, and he said they're looking for a mechanic at Huckleberry. So that's sort of how I got my foot in the door. Now, and as soon as I got there, it wasn't much longer that I met you. And when I met you, it was through Mine Rescue. And you were, I kind of felt you were like a trainer there. People were looking up to you because you had the experience and the kind of confidence to show us how we could get to your position. Did you feel that tone at all? As a trainer, as a helper in that job?
Yes. Yeah, I definitely enjoyed passing skills and knowledge onto the newbies.
Yeah, yeah.
That would show up, and I'd be like, "This, come here, I'll show you how it's done, and you got to do this and this and this. It's actually very simple, but you just need to be shown.
Yeah,
a couple of times, and once you start to do that, you get a knack for it, and then you actually start to enjoy.
Yeah.
Passing this knowledge and,
Well, Tone, that's one thing that I like about you. You have to remember, in this competitive world, people believe that knowledge is power. And when they have that power, when somebody has power, it's power over someone else. And to give your knowledge to someone, that's a pretty good trait. Where a lot of people will try to keep their knowledge. And I ran into that at Huckleberry with the mechanics, where I had guys that wouldn't help me with a problem that I was having. I had to figure it out myself, which is fine in its own way. But we all gain knowledge. And like you say, once you see how it's done, once somebody is showing you how it's done, then it becomes a lot simpler than the difficult problem when you first address it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Like, some of the best things is to make yourself feel better is by helping others.
That's a good statement, Tone. That's a real good statement. Yeah. And I mean, even as simple as knots, like, you remember when we were learning the knots and we're all kind of holding that rope and we're all making mistakes, and you've got the confidence to show us, this is how it is. Lay this down, put that through there. And it's not that complicated, And I've seen a lot of knots over my years, and I still kind of forget how to do it. And sometimes when you're training, it helps you to remember, And I see that in you when you're showing somebody. It gives you that confidence that you know what you're doing. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's something that takes a little bit of time. But you learn how to, show the people.
Share.
And share, exactly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And sharing it with them, and then having the people look at you and just say thank you.
Yeah, that's pretty cool,
you
actually.
You get a thank, and then you got to, like, Tony, you're so smart. And I'm like, I don't know if I'm smart, but, I got a bit of experience. I got a bit of knowledge, and here it is.
That we picked up as we get older, as we learn.
Yeah, not so selfish. You start to think about the people around you. I definitely enjoy doing that. And with it, with our Mine Rescue, we built up a lot of camaraderie.
We really did.
A team mentality.
Yeah.
And just doing that, one of our biggest things is, when you're training, like for Mine Rescue, like you said, how we're associated with each other is just... How did we say it? Like, your team is only as strong as the weakest link.
Yeah. Yeah. And I was always the weakest link, Tom. And so that kept me hanging in there, and people kept showing me different ways. And I really enjoyed that,
And we got you through it.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, listen, Tom, let's throw in another song. You've got a nice selection of tunes here. And I'd like to play the second one, which is one of my old-time favorites, too, with Bryan Adams. And I understand you were at the last Bryan Adams concert in Prince George. How did that go?
It was good.
Yeah.
It was great. It's I don't go to a lot of concerts or anything like that. And it was a birthday gift.
Oh, nice.
From my daughter, Lisa.
Right.
And, it was great.
Yeah, that's great. Well, let's play this song. I'm a little connected to it because I graduated in 69, so I kind of can relate to this song.
And I was born in 69.
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Let's see if we can make it happen. I got my first real six string, bought it at the Five and Dime, played it till my fingers bled, was the summer of 69. Me and some guys from school had a band and we tried real hard. Jimmy quit and Jody got married. Should have known we'd never get far. Oh, and I look back now. This summer seemed to last forever. And if I had the choice, yeah, I'd always wanna be there. Those were the best days of my life. Hey! Ain't no use in complaining when you got a job to do. Spend my evenings down at the drive-in, and that's when I met you, yeah. Standing on your mama's porch, you told me that you wait forever. Oh, and when you held my hand, I knew that it was now or never. Those were the best days of my life. I'm sure he must have played that at the concert. Yeah, that's a sweet little song.
Yeah, absolutely. So, he allowed a lot of people to come on stage and actually sing with him, eh?
Oh, that would be kind of cool.
He allowed a little bit of participation there from the fans.
Yeah, yeah. I think that Prince George gigs are a lot of fun. They're not completely huge, so there's room for a little bit of other styles, you know, which is kind of cool. So, Tone, we spent quite a bit of time at Huckleberry. I was there for 12 years, and I think you were there before I got there. So you probably got in, I would say, 15 years, would you say?
19
years. Wow. That's sort of an inclusion to your mining career, because you had your equity time, and then after equity seemed to be Huckleberry.
Yeah, the next big
it kind of fit in pretty good.
Huckleberry, and then of course it was the big thing back in '97, right? We they had to open up and get some mines producing some jobs out there.
Yeah,
and definitely it was big, because I did a little bit of time at the sawmill in town here.
Oh yeah,
right. And but that was the goal.
Yeah,
to get on at Huckleberry Mines and make a difference in my life.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Well, Tone, one thing I liked about Huckleberry was if you could get yourself out after dinner, it was an amazing recreational area. Like they had, we were canoeing, we were hiking the, Huckleberry Mountain and checking the country out. Did you get involved in any of that?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. There was what do we have? Like two lakes.
Yeah.
Right. We had Nadina Lake out there.
Yeah.
We had Sweeney.
Yep. Yeah. It's right? Pretty cool.
And then we had the mountains. So yeah, after works and stuff like that, we had a little bit of freedom.
Yeah.
So we'd go for some drives. People would go get their firewood.
Yeah. Yeah. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah. Firewood and just going out to the lakes and just, Nadina, the rec committee at Huckleberry allowed us to have free boat rentals.
That was pretty cool, wasn't it?
Yeah. Head out to the lake after work and catch some fish.
Catch up fish. Like that whole scene where we had this freedom at the mine, I felt was pretty important. And I understand nowadays some of the mines are not letting you off the property. Like they want you to stay within the compound. Does that happen at Milligan?
Nope. They have a security system there. Mm-hmm. And it's just to keep track of who's coming and going.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And, as far as freedom,
Feel pretty good there, eh?
Yeah.
Well, that's good.
The people, cause the communities are fairly close. You got Mackenzie and you got Fort St. James.
Yeah.
So people are, some people get to commute
back and forth
easily.
Yeah.
But myself, live in Smithers. I'm not going to be traveling back and forth.
No, exactly. So Tone, I kind of always remember you as an easygoing guy. Like in my time at Huckleberry, I had several conflicts where I got into problems with people that I worked with. It's my work life has never been totally smooth. It has been pretty rocky. But in your case, when I've seen you in action, you seem to be able to roll with the punches quite a bit. Do you feel that's true?
Yeah. I you would have to bite your lower lip once in a while.
Yeah.
Watch what you say. But to me, being a part of the mining business, and like I said, I wanted to succeed. You got to watch. You what you say and what you do and whatnot, and if you want to further your career and become, more, right?
Mm-hmm.
You make sure you have good PR skills.
Yeah, those are very good skills to have, very good skills. And I really thought you had them, Tone. I really did. And I also felt that type of personality kind of helps you in a position of responsibility. That you're able to. Kind of get along with people a little better. Like if you are given a position that's not just the working guy, maybe you're one step up. I've never been able to really get that position filled very well. I've been in that spot, but it seems that I'm always in a conflict where I felt that you're more of a smooth operator, that you're able to work with people. That maybe, maybe they don't want to work enough, but you're able to bring their level up a little bit. Is that true, Tone? Do you feel that?
Absolutely. One of the big philosophies in, not just my life, and I imagine a lot of other people's lives, is treat people the way you would like to be treated.
Right, right.
So many times that's what I do. And, you give respect, you get respect.
Yeah.
And if you follow those little bit of philosophies in life, you should be able to, communicate and, get people to, understand, that you understand.
Yeah.
How they are, and maybe relate that. And I always had 100 stories to go with everything. And like people would say, oh, this and this, I'm having a hard time. I don't know if I'd be able to do that. And all that stuff. I know exactly how you feel.
Yeah.
I know exactly how you feel. And you know what? I've been there, done that. And
let's give it a go.
You got to persevere.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to, you know, the going gets tough, the tough get going.
There we go. There we go. Exactly. So Tone, after it's hard to believe, but Huckleberry's been down for 10 years. Can you believe that? I went out of Huckleberry on my 65th birthday, and they shut down on the same day that I was kind of thinking, wow, they're really giving me a good birthday present. But you don't want to see a mine shut down because it puts everybody out of work. But most miners are able to sort of be flexible enough to move into another mine somewhere along the way because they've got mining skills that not everybody has. Did you find that for yourself that you were able to, or were you out of work for 5 years, or were you able to adapt?
No. I was lucky enough that, as Huckleberry was shutting down, a few other projects started to go, and you just look at that and say, okay, well, let's try this place and this place. You know, like I said, always been able to find work in the Bulkley Valley, in the Pleasant Valley and all that stuff.
Right.
Being able to find work in my own backyard.
Right? It's a pretty pretty fortunate situation, really, Tone. It really is.
I have not had to move.
Yeah, that's amazing. So, Tone, right at this point, we kind of hit the midway point of the show. It's a one-hour show. And so we take this little moment to remember our call sign, CICK, and we're 93.9 on your FM dial. And we also have sponsors that help us with this, with the whole CICK program. And those sponsors, I kind of give a shout out to the bronze sponsors, which I've got up on the wall here. I got Bugwood Bean, the BV Concert Association. I've got Classic Sanitary, a Ranch House Tattoo, and I've got Phoenix Self-Care Studio. And also, we've just got two new sponsors, Betty Z Boutique and Subway Smithers. So I really appreciate their help in keeping our radio station going. We're in our 15th year, which is crazy to believe. And just a reminder that I'm Thomas Tom Roper, and tonight we have our interviewee is Tony Mitchell, and I'm calling him the Milligan Mill Trainer. So with that statement, Tone, that we've gone across midway, and now we're working our way to your next job, which is Milligan, that's out of Fort St. James. And did you get in there fairly quickly after Huckleberry? Did you...
No. There was 6.5 years I did at Bruce Jack Mines.
Well, there you go. Yeah. So another mine. You got to admit that being a miner has been pretty helpful for you to find positions because you've got skills.
Yes, absolutely. Just like you said, making sure that I got along with everybody and everybody liked me. I built a good resume. I built a good reputation.
Yeah.
And it worked out. I've got quite a few good friends, good contacts. I was able to move into Milligan after Bruce Jack, like within a couple of weeks.
And you said, how did that actually take place? You would run into Chad? What was Chad's last name?
Chad Hamblin.
Hamblin, right. Right. Yeah. And he's kind of moved up the mining ladder?
Absolutely, yes. He's been very successful, and he's our mill super.
Okay.
And he just saw me and, asked if I was, interested in Mount Milligan. And I said, well, yeah, I am.
Yeah, right, right.
I'll give her a try.
And so as you were... moving into the Milligan situation, you had another opportunity come your way?
Yeah. So going into Mount Milligan, just rode with my reputation and as a mill operator,
which
is part of the processing of mineral,
right?
You know, you pull it out of the ground, you got to get the valuable metals out of the mineral,
right?
And so that's what the mill operator does. Mm-hmm. We take the ore and we bust it up, get the gold, silver, copper, whatever's in it, out.
Right.
And so that's what I'd done forever.
Yeah.
And Milligan, they recognized it. They put me in a operator's position. And next thing you know, a mill trainer's job came up.
Oh.
And I was like, a mill trainer's job? Ooh. And they said, Tony, you're a great trainer. You've been training forever. And I said, yeah, I have been training forever, but out in the field.
Yeah. Right? Yeah.
This is an actual title. This is you're a trainer. We're going to give you an office. We're going to give you a classroom.
Right.
We're going to give you all the tools that you need to, you know, train people. And I was pretty nervous.
I would think so to start, Tone, because that, you know, you've got the skills. The skills bring your confidence. But the new job, the new direction gives you a little bit of anticipation. How's it going to go? How's people going to, you know, get along with me? How am I going to get along with them? And how are we going to transfer that knowledge? And that's something that you've sort of found a way to do, Tone.
It's something that I didn't know that I actually had.
It
the next thing you know, it was the coworkers and my friends that I had made over the years. They're like, Tony, this, you're made for this. Try it out. Yeah. Let's do it, because like you can do it. And the only thing that I hummed and hawed about was the you know, I'm no good with a PC.
Yeah.
So I just was nervous about the PC and sitting at a desk.
Yeah, and PC. PC being personal computer.
Yeah. And it just, that's the part I was nervous about. I couldn't believe that they were going to allow me to do it.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'll do it.
Yeah.
I applied for the job. They gave me the job. And next thing you know, I'm educating and teaching people, training and, you know, with like safety and teaching people of, you know, on equipment.
Right.
And, you know, WMIS and
the various programs that are out there.
Confined space.
So you're trying to tell me that you have become a teacher? I mean, your high school teachers must be like in shock that you have actually become a teacher. They must be so proud of your accomplishment, Tone, and you must be too.
Absolutely. So far, I got, I'd done like about 3-4 months of the job.
Yeah.
And next thing you know, I'm like stapling papers, putting paperwork together, and I realized, hey, I'm a teacher.
Yeah.
Not in so many words, but yeah, a teacher.
No, it is in so many words. Yeah. Totally.
Yeah. And I just was definitely proud of myself moving on, and the support from the team at Mount Milligan. They really, really helped me transition from being like a guy working in the field to working in the classroom, sitting at a desk, and then presenting and educating people. They gave me the support I needed. And now 2 years into the job, I couldn't be happier.
Wow. Tone, that's completely fantastic. And, you know, like, and I've said how you and I are sort of similar in our directions. That was one thing that I never got, that confidence. I never got that feeling from my crew that they respected me, and I never felt that I was fitting into the job as well as I could. So it seemed like my HFP days, you know, it was a battle, and I ended up, you know, getting fired. So at Huckleberry, I didn't get into that same program. I was like a lead hand, but not running like a trainer. Like, I really like that position that you're in, Tone. I really do.
It's something that I would tell people. Definitely take the time to do it, have your own self-confidence to, yeah. to change.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
It was a big change for me.
Yeah.
And it made me realize that everything everybody was saying of Tony.
Could work.
You'd be good at this.
Well, Tone, let's go on. We got a couple more songs to play, and I kind of want to get this next song going. It's one of the old Bee Gees songs called Stayin' Alive. Now, you remember those days with John Travolta, and he had that kind of confident walk about him. And that when you listen to this song, you can't help yourself but sort of fall into that pace. Do you feel that, Tone?
Absolutely.
Right on. Okay, well, let's give it a bingo here. That's a pretty cool song, Tone, an old rocking song back in the day. Hey.
Oh, it's my another go-to feel song.
Man. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Feel good.
When it comes on or you play it in your playlist or whatever, it kind of gives you that kind of, it takes you back to when you were feeling that kind of way, you know, it's kind of cool, kind of cool. So Tone, we talked a little bit about, I just wanted to say that of course, this was the Bee Gees, the three brothers. That's Maurice, Robin, and Barry. And they were like, they figured they were the world's greatest disco band in that time period, back in the 70s, you know, the late 70s. And it's amazing. And they're not really that old, but they've all passed away, unfortunately, you know.
So, okay.
Yeah, so it's kind of been, that's just the way that it goes. We're all moving on one way or the other. So getting back now, Tone, to this fact that we've been together, you know, you and I here, and we've been able to find a little bit about you, about what you're doing, where you're going and that. And I just wanted to ask you that question. Like, you've been married to Mary for, you said 30 years?
30 plus years. 31? Yeah, 31 years.
And you did mention to me that it really helps a person to have a strong partner. Do you feel that, Tone, that Mary's helped you a lot in life? You've helped her. We've worked together. It's a partnership.
It definitely has been a partnership. She's, you know, I try to be her rock.
Yeah.
And then there's days that she's my rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And definitely, I probably, I don't know where I would have been without her.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing, really.
Yeah.
Completely amazing. And now you also mentioned that your brother has been living with you now, and he'd moved in, was going to stay with you for a year or so, and now it's been already 5 years. It's a pretty amazing relationship you have there now with your wife and your brother, and you're able to function together as a family.
Absolutely, yeah. It's my brother moving in with me. I was to help him.
Yeah.
That's why I brought him there. I was like, hey, I'm going to help you out. Next thing you know, after a few years, he's helped me out.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. You know, like I said, when you're helping other people, the best way to feel good about yourself is by helping other people out.
Yeah.
And so with my brother, it was a no-brainer. I'm going to help my brother out. And he moved in. And he's been living with me in the Bulkley Valley here now. And he loves living here. He's been able to set himself up a life, a job and whatnot.
Right.
And yeah, it's...
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, it
That's
is.
Pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a nice little family that we've got going.
Yeah, yeah. So with that sort of thought, and we know your job has been going well, you've got a position now that you really like, I wanted to ask you, how do you see yourself over the next 5 years? Like, I used to follow like the old Russian 5-year plan. I think to myself, okay, well, over this time period, I could maybe get a house, or, you know, or I could get a family going, or whatever, you know, whatever your plans are. Now, where you're sitting right now, Tone, and in the next 5 years, do you want to be like the Prime Minister of Canada? Have you got other goals, or are you feeling pretty level where you're at right now?
Feeling pretty level.
Yeah.
Like that's, I'm pretty happy with it.
Yeah.
Like with the position I've got, it's still new.
Yeah.
Right. The trainer's position. It's every day is learning and helping people out. But in 5 years, you know, that's the times you're like retirement's just around the corner.
Yeah.
Retirement's going to be knocking at your door. So, my thing is, I've the mining business that I've been in, I've done 30 years in camp.
Mm-hmm.
Like all the jobs that I've had, they're camp jobs.
Right.
So with all the jobs being in camp and all that stuff, if 30 years worth of work, that's 15 years of my life in a camp.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So I'm going to try to get out of camp living. So around the 60-year mark, I'm going to see about getting away from camp life and maybe finding something in town.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm home every night with the wife.
That would be nice, Tone.
As opposed to always leaving home every 2 weeks.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. No, that sounds like a pretty good goal, because to find a town job is not... It's never been easy for me either. You know, it's always a challenge.
I'm hoping some of my new skills that I've learned, and maybe there's something in town for me. If not, it's nothing wrong with staying in camp and then continuing to work.
Right.
Because, like I said, pretty happy where I am right now.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Exactly. So, and you know, when you're looking towards retirement, you have to also have a plan, a little bit of what are you going to do? You know, you've got to get your financial plan in order, and then you've got to get your, what's going to keep me getting up every day? You know, like they've just started this program down at the Fall Fairgrounds called the Man Shed. I don't know if you've heard of it, but they're doing woodworking projects. They've got equipment down there, and they've got a supervisor, and people are turning up going down there, and it gives them a little socialization, you know, so that we're always looking for that connection with people.
Yeah.
And skills, and these are the things that you have, Tone, right now. You've got that connection, you know, and you're going to have to adapt it to your long-term program, you know, as we're going along.
Yeah. So, go ahead.
Yeah, no. So what I wanted to say, Tone, was it's been a real pleasure talking to you. It really has. And we're really glad that you were able to come down and give us a little bit of your history. Let's play up our last song. We've got this one here. This is another one of your favorites. Your songs are kind of these moving songs that really bring out an exciting moment in your life, you know what I mean? So this one is from Kiss.
Absolutely. And, it's great song.
It's a great song. So let's throw that in there right now, if we can. Have we got a... let's see, where are we here? I've lost my cursor. There we are.
I was made for loving you, baby. You were made for loving me.
That is a pretty cool song. And Kiss, being they were extremely popular in the 70s and kind of opened the way for arena rock and metal pop of the 80s. It was a pretty cool band. Was there any significance of that song for you, Tone? Did it feel like it's just something you like listening to, or was it, did you get married with that song, or what happened with that song?
That was just one of many Kiss songs that everybody loved back in the days and all that stuff.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And it's, you know, you listen to songs to make you feel good, so that's definitely what that was all about.
That's where we're at, Tone. That's where we're at. Well, listen, it's been fun talking to you. It really has. I've been having a little bit of retro history going back to our days at Huckleberry. And kind of brought out some of the adventures that I went through there and my working experiences. I've really appreciated kind of having this opportunity to chat with you.
Absolutely. After, the mine shut down on us and everything, everybody went in different directions.
Yeah.
To run into you, Tom, and to sit down and participate in your podcast. I've definitely enjoyed it.
It's been a lot of fun, Tom. Thanks very much for coming out. And I'd just like to say to my listeners, all of our shows are archived. And they're on your computer, so you don't actually have to turn on the radio. It's smithersradio.com. You go up to schedule on the left and scroll down to Monday, 6 p.m. on the ropes, and pick your show. This is going to be a good one. Okay, Tone? So I think we're going to close her down, and we run through our outro now, and that'll finish us up. See if we can get that baby to start up. Try that.
You have been listening to On the Ropes, Smithers Community Radio, CICK 93.9 on your FM dial. I'm your host, Thomas Tom Roper, and we will see you on the flip side.